Welcome, 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 welcome to tonight's podcast. Another week has gone by. Here we are again. Hope everyone is doing okay. Glad to be back. Glad to have you back again. If you're new to the channel, welcome. If you're not, welcome back. And you know what time it is, so let's get comfortable. Grab a pillow, dim the light, and close your eyes. And let's fall asleep to tonight's topics. We're gonna have a good show today. It's gonna be a longer show. I hope you all enjoy it. Let's get started. So, this morning, I woke up, and all of a sudden, it felt like 2019 all over again. And the feeling was so strange. It was almost like deja vu. And it was the sense of calm and peace. And it was not like 2019 was an extremely peaceful time for me, personally. That year had its own challenges for sure. But I guess 2019 me was a little simpler, I must say. I didn't have as many thoughts like now. I wasn't really aware of anything besides just my regular daily thoughts. Go, 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 or do, 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 or be, be, be. So, I laid in my bed. I yawned and then I stretched. And I realized that my air mattress has deflated a little bit over the night. And with my whole weight on it, it felt like I was laying in the middle of a ball pit. You know that sinking feeling? You're sinking, but you're safe. Have you ever laid in the middle of a ball pit before? Did you know that kids sometimes pee in ball pits? It's true. Just think of it, the feeling of all the soft embrace and only half of your body, your upper body is exposed, like the other half is covered. Hello? Privacy? Imagine you're an adult, right? Well, of course you are. But I mean an adult at a party or at a birthday party or at a fun house. Watching kids in a ball pit, right? Making sure that everything is okay, that the kids are okay. Like adult supervision. And everything is fine. Everybody's having fun. But then all of a sudden you see Johnny in the corner, right? Just standing there by himself. Not moving. Just suspiciously quiet. He's watching other kids, but more of like staring into space. And just something on his face, a sense of relief. I mean, 9 times out of 10, he's peeing. And then you'd be like, Johnny, look at me, what you doing? What you doing? What you doing? Where's your mama? Where is your mama? You know, bottom line is, kids pee in ball pits. Yikes, but funny at the same time. Anyways, where was I? Okay, so I was sinking in the middle of my air mattress, right? I opened my eyes. All was quiet around me. Sunlight through my windows. I thought to myself, this is so familiar. I had this feeling before. And I was like, hold on, what year is this? Is it 2019? I got up and looked around my place, and sure enough, it felt so familiar. It felt so weird because it was almost like the past 3 years didn't happen. It was just a dream, and I just got up. It was like I just dreamt it. Like it was like last night's dream. I dreamt my past 3 years, and now I got up to my reality, which is the year 2019. I got up and I went to my big window. And the tree outside was so beautiful. So sunlight seeping through the leaves, like this baby green color, which is gorgeous. And some cast beautiful shadows on my table. You know, these dancing sun rays, whenever the wind blows, the leaves move, And it's so strange because I had this feeling before, so many years ago when I was younger. And one day, I took a nap in the middle of the day and then I got up around, definitely before nightfall, right? And the first thing that I saw when I opened my eyes was these dancing sunspots on the floor. The sunbeams that got through the windows, through the trees, outside. And every time small wind blew, the leaves moved. And I got these happy dancing sun rays on the floor. No one was home, just me in the house. And it was just hustle and bustle outside. But the windows were closed, so I didn't hear any of that. It was just me in my room, in my quiet, peaceful, personal world. And I remember sitting there really enjoying the moment. And in that moment, I felt peaceful and calm. Wow, it was more than 10, 15 years ago. I still remember that particular moment till this day. I really, I didn't realize that youth is a blessing. I mean, I still feel young, but I can't seem to find that carefree or no worries mentality like when I was 18 or 19. Just young, no worries in the world. I guess one can try their best to preserve youthfulness and might be successful at it. We can definitely try reverse aging to look forever 25 or forever 30. But our mind can't never be 25 or 30 again. So, I guess no one can really bathe in the same river twice. Also, this just reminds me of how foolish I was in my early 20s. I was worrying too much about nothing the whole time. I think that was Jim Rohn who said it, majoring in minor things. Minor things that didn't really matter. I mean, I feel that I should have enjoyed life more because most of the stuff I was worried or concerned about, they weren't even real problems. I mean, they felt real because other people or people in my life at that time were convinced that those were real problems in their personal lives, and I just went with the flow. Yeah, I just went with the flow. And now looking back, I mean, No one really knew what they were doing, really. Anyways, hey, here's a fun question. What would you say if someone asked you what year this is? Would you tell them the year with confidence or conviction? Or would you say, geez, I don't know, it feels like 2023, but I'm not sure. Like, people say it's 2023, but that's what they say. I'm not sure though. Or would you say, I don't know what year you're from? What would you say? Let me know in the comments. I'm very curious what you would tell someone if they asked you what year this is. So back to my morning. So I got up and I walked to the window. And it was just so beautiful and peaceful outside. The sky was blue, the sun was bright, and the wind was gentle. It's just a beautiful day, right? Just me and my peaceful and calm personal space. This is exactly how I felt in 2019, towards the end of the year, before more people knew about me. For sure, that year had its own challenges, but mostly I was content. Not many people knew about me, got curious and tried to find out more about me. I never got people trying to force conversations with me on the street. I never got people come to my workplace pretending to be customers. Well, before going back to my story, well, I know a lot of you are listening, and I wanted to say that I love you. You cannot be punished for what you have never experienced. But what you have experienced is just not enough, and you want more, and I totally understand that. All I'm saying is, I love you from the deepest part of my heart, and I know it's impossible to ask each other with all the suffering in the world to act like this is heaven and not hell. Because it's not heaven. It's hell. This is as much hell as hell could be. And, well, since we're on the topic, and I don't want to lose my train of thoughts, let's discuss happiness and suffering, okay, if you're still awake. Suffering. You know, the world is a terrible place. Let's not bury our heads in the sand, okay? It really is. It's brutal, unkind, cutthroat. So how can we expect happiness going through all kinds of hardship? It's like seeing someone going through so much and we're just sitting on the sidelines saying, hey, cheer up, be happy. Who are people to tell you to be happy? You don't have to be happy. You don't. You have every right to be unhappy. You can be content in your happiness. You can be content in your unhappiness. That's part of being true to who you are and how you feel. It could go multiple ways from here. It could feel lonely when you express or act out your unhappiness and not be reciprocated in an equal energetic exchange process. You know what I mean? The other person could say, sorry, I don't get it, or not act in a way that shows that they actually absorbed that unhappiness. You're really by yourself, and you're on your own in this. And that could feel really lonely. It could also open doors to many possible solutions. Like, think about it. Because one day, waking up, you'd be thinking, maybe I should try this happiness thing for a little bit. Maybe not too long. Maybe a day. Or not even a day. A few hours. 1 hour. Okay, 15 minutes. I'm gonna ease myself in. Heck, I'm not quitting unhappiness cold turkey. Like, Maybe you realize happiness wouldn't be so hard. And other things that come with it, like accountability or empathy or authenticity. Speaking of accountability, personal story time, okay? So, accountability. I wasn't introduced to the concept of accountability until like 3 years ago. Right? When I really, really started looking inwards and taking responsibilities for all of my mistakes due to, I would say, self-sabotage, unhealthy attachment. I grew up in an environment, like in a family, where people blamed each other and other people for their shortcomings due to shame and fear. That's just how I was brought up, and it was not my fault. It was not the fault of the people who brought me up, because the same thing happened to them as well. The bottom line is there was no accountability whatsoever in my environment. Like, we loved talking about other family members, other people's problems, other family members' problems instead of our own. And whenever we had problems, we self-soothed by telling other people or ourselves, oh, at least I'm not like so-and-so, and so-and-so means other family members. And we do that just to gain the sense of self-elevation. We do that to self-elevate. And we did that so frequently because it would take that much of constant effort to prop ourselves up. It was that bad. to fight for our places in the family, in an environment we're supposed to be loving and caring. And now looking back, after so many years, I feel extremely lucky to be able to finally see how I was or who I was. Well, of course, I got a lot of help a few years ago, and now I see that as a form of co-creation in a sense, timeless co-creation, co-creation at a different timeline. Can we talk about co-creation real quick before we move on? Everything we do is co-create with someone or someone's work. I feel that harmonic co-creation could actually amplify the result on both ends. The amazing thing is you can co-create jumping timeline. Well, I have an example. So let's just say when you go study at a coffee shop, whenever you go there, if you create meaningful work in any way, you'd basically co-create with that coffee shop's owner or the people who involved in the establishment of that coffee shop. And the thing is, the creation of that coffee shop was done years ago before you showed up. Someone had to build the building and put a coffee shop there. Stay in business for years until you showed up and work on your whatever you were working on. It's co-creation. And whatever you work on will be you co-creating again with someone else in the future. It's a closed loop, sustainable give and take cycle. Or it's more of give and take and give back and give and take again and give back again, like on and on and on and on. It's a cycle, but on steroids, very amplifiable and sustainable. Well, since we're talking about coffee, Can I say a quick thing before we move on? I had this thought the other day. Have you ever thought about how coffee is just diluted espresso? Really, don't get me wrong, I love a good cup of coffee. But think about it, it just watered down espresso. If you have espresso, if you add hot water to it, you have coffee, right? Espresso is just like the concentrated form of coffee. You drink a hot cup of coffee. How is that different from drinking a small espresso and then a cup of water? And maybe we like coffee because it's a delivery method for sugar and cream. It's like having a piece of cake for breakfast, but in a form of coffee. What do you think? Do you like espresso or do you like coffee? Let me know in the comments, okay? Anyways, okay, where was I? Back to unhappiness. You have every right to be unhappy. Really? Like, who am I to say otherwise? I don't know you. I don't know what you've been through. So I can only give personal opinions based on my own experience and sometimes opposed to what I've never experienced. Personally, I feel you can be however you want. There's no crime if there's no injured parties, right? It's common law. I had a funny thought. You know what common law is? It's law for people with common sense. How many times do we look around and or look at something and go, what? This makes no sense. So I'm okay with the dark world that you're from, and someone's rise doesn't have to be someone else's downfall, or vice versa. You know, we can coexist. That's how we stay in balance. Like the yin-yang, right? The yin and the yang. There needs to be some dark in the light and some light in the dark to make sure sometimes we don't overcompensate and go overboard due to being suppressed for a long time. That's why the two dots are there in the yin-yang, making sure everything stays in balance. You don't want to be too dark for a long time and then one day, fed up, went to the light, went to the other side. Like, or you don't want to be staying in the light wondering, what if? What if? What if I went to the dark side? You don't have to go to the dark side. You just need to go to the dark dot, which still stays in the light or in the light territory. Because you could go, hey, are you curious? Here, Dark Dot, a movie trailer of the dark side. Here, I give you a free 7-day trial. You can cancel anytime. That's trying out the Dark Dot in the light's territory. And after 7 days, if you still think you belong to the other side, and hey, we can't stop you, but at least we know for sure what you want, right? Something like that. Just like if you're on a diet, you want to reward yourself every now and then for each milestone you reach. Like, you don't want to be too strict on yourself and then end up overcompensating afterwards and gaining back all the weight. Speaking of weight, I have a story to tell. So a few weeks ago, I was cooking, right? When I realized I was out of fat, not like cooking fat, but not fat in my body. And then I thought to myself, I was like, hey, I ran out of one type of fat, but I have plenty of the other type of fat, the body fat. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could just consume our own fat for cooking, because I had plenty, and not have to worry about getting more fat in our bodies, right? I mean, it sounds silly, but think about it. We could have a never-ending supply of cooking fat, and we'd be doing ourselves a favor by keeping our bodies lean and trim, right? Resources. But then I started thinking, how would we even extract the fat from our bodies? Like, would we need some sort of special machine, or could we just squeeze it out like toothpaste from a tube? I don't know. And what about the taste? Like, would it be like olive oil or more like bacon fat? I know it's a ridiculous idea, but hey, it's fun to think about, and who knows? Maybe in a few years, we'll have a new cooking trend where everybody's be using their own fat to make delicious meals. But until then, I guess, I'll just have to settle for a trip to the store for some more cooking fat, huh? Just a silly thought that I had. Anyways, wait, hold on. So before we go back to my peaceful morning, wow, we're so off topics right now. Well, don't worry, we'll go back in a minute. Let's talk about this before I forget. Talking of cooking, right? So I was watching this romantic comedy. In the movie, this guy's a chef, and he was trying to seduce this lady with food. Well, in this case, Italian food. Do you know that you can totally seduce people with food? But he had this whole Italian seduction plot. So he made her some tiramisu. Did you know that tiramisu was Italian? Because I didn't. I didn't know that. I thought it was Japanese because, well, it sounds Japanese. And I've seen videos of Japanese people making tiramisu with such confidence, so I just assumed. Anyways, tiramisu, Italian. Not Japanese. So he feeds her tiramisu, and they're sitting on the floor, and she's like, oh, maybe I'm a dessert person after all. And then he looks deep into her eyes, and he goes, you know, in Italian, tiramisu means food of the gods. And then she's like, no. Well, it should. And then he said, you got some cream right there. And he took his finger and he wiped off the cream on her lips, and the same finger, he put it in his mouth the whole time, keeping eye contact, very seductive. I was like, ooh, here it comes. It looks like they're going for a kiss. And they did. Italian seduction plot. The reason I brought this up is because I guess it only worked because it was tiramisu. Because some language is just naturally sexy. Like, the whole Italian seduction plot worked because it was Italian. I mean, the character was an Italian, but the food, the culture, the language were amplifiers to his charisma. You know, some language is just naturally sexy, like French, Italian. Some accents are too, like Australian. Because I don't think this could work with my language. Vietnamese, like my mother tongue, Vietnamese. Well, I'm not saying anything bad about the Vietnamese language, because I happen to know Vietnamese on a fluent level. To know, it won't work in seduction scenarios. You won't have an effective Vietnamese seduction plot. It won't work. I mean, our food is amazing, delicious. But imagine the same scenario, like in the movie. I cook a pho for someone. It would go down something like this. Okay. Pho, the noodle soup, the Vietnamese noodle soup. All right. It would go down something like this. I would look deep in his eyes and say, you know, in Vietnamese, Phở tái nạm gầu bò viên means food of the gods. He might go, no it doesn't. And then I go, well, it should. Wait, hold on. You have fish sauce on your lips. And the rest you can imagine. So my point is very, very unsexy, like, and unappetizing too. It won't work. It just won't. Speaking of Asian foods, languages, and cultures, did you know next year, the year 2024, is a dragon year? Okay, so let me explain for those who are curious or would like to explore Chinese astrology further. Similar to Western astrology, like you have 12 signs representing 12 different times throughout the year, right? So you got Aries, Aquarius, Pisces, Sagittarius, Scorpio, Virgo, and so on. Then these signs are grouped into four groups of elements: water, fire, air, and earth. Right? For example, water signs are Scorpio, Cancer, and Pisces. And fire signs are Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Air signs, Aquarius, Gemini, Libra. And finally, earth signs are Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus. Right, sounds familiar? You get the concept. And because of the groups that they're in and their positions, each sign has certain characteristics unique to them that explain their personalities and compatibilities and whatnot. Chinese astrology, in a sense, is very similar to that of Western astrology. However, instead of months or moon cycles, in Chinese astrology is a yearly thing. Meaning in Chinese astrology, there are also 12 signs, but each sign is assigned to a whole full year, the lunar calendar. So we have, here are the 12 signs. We have rat, ox, tiger, cat, dragon, snake, horse, goat, monkey, rooster, dog, and pig. This year is a rabbit or a cat year. You won't have another cat year in 12 years. Does it make sense? Any children born in this year are rabbit children. And you won't have rabbit children until 2035 or 12 years from now. But 2035 rabbits won't have the same element as this year rabbit's children, because similar to Western astrology's 12 signs are also assigned to 5 elements, which are fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. The Chinese zodiac is on a 12-year cycle, and there are 5 elements. Therefore, the entire cycle lasts 60 years, which means if you are, let's say, a wood dragon, the next wood dragon year would be 60 years from the year you were born. Does it make sense? Next year, 2024, is a wood dragon year. Just FYI. Anyway, so back to my peaceful morning. I really felt peaceful today. Like, I I really miss 2019, and I wish I could feel the calm of 2019 once again, every day. You know, before COVID started, life in 2019, like, do you still remember how calm it was before 2020? In 2019, like, we had no clue. And then, out of nowhere, just bam! Everything just changed overnight. Things didn't change overnight, but sure felt that way. Such a new experience to all of us. Don't you think? Do you have any stories of 2019 that you would like to share with the rest of us? We would love to hear them. In a sense, COVID changed a lot of things, right? Well, it changed my life for sure. I felt bad that COVID happened. I really do. I mean, I feel bad that COVID happened, but I also feel without COVID, things wouldn't be this way today for me. And COVID really expedited my journey of healing myself. Like, all of the unhappiness and discontent with life that I felt up to that point, without knowing why I felt what I felt. Because life before COVID, which is go, 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 do, 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 be, 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 busy on my feet. I knew I was unhappy. Like, back then I knew I was unhappy, but I didn't know why or how to fix it. And then I spent like years and years trying to change my situations, like even my locations. Like, I moved a lot. Like, trying to keep myself busy with work and new experiences. I didn't know my unhappiness was something deeply rooted inside of me. It just doesn't matter. Like, whenever I went, it went with me. It just doesn't matter where I went. All I did was keep pushing it down by putting on top of it new locations, new experiences. Like, does that make sense? COVID definitely put a stop to all of that. Because, well, at least COVID caused immobility and inconvenience to my life. I mean, and everybody else's lives too. Before that, because before COVID, whenever I felt something, like, I knew I felt something inside of me, immediately I would distract myself by going to the stores or the mall. There was always something to do to fill that void in my heart or inside of me. And with COVID, almost everything was shut down. I was forced to sit alone in my personal space at home and finally have to face my thoughts. All the meaningless busyness was put to a halt, and it was hell at first, to be honest, having to face myself without outside distractions. Like, when you really sit alone in your room long enough, stuff starts to come up. Things start to come up. Wow, so 2020 was such a pivotal year, for sure. I got help, though. There were a lot of videos meant for me that came right in time, like very intuitive videos that helped me a lot. Thank you for your help. But now, looking back, I was able to connect the dots. In a sense, it was a form of co-creation, like we talked about co-creation earlier, right? It was definitely a form of co-creation, because now, sitting here, I can share with you what I've learned through that process. And I hope to add value to your life somehow, if you're still awake. Right? I mean, if it's not for you, just humor me, okay? You can look at this as an entertaining piece. Heck, if you're still up, I mean, you're probably already sleeping. Anyways, I feel that saying everything happens for a reason is so true. Like, meaning in this context, we can take it as our shortcomings might be our protection or catalyst for us to grow in other aspects. Protection, because with our shortcomings, we would look less like a threat to something or someone. We can stay safe from harm while developing ourselves to our max potential, right? Our shortcomings make people underestimate us, and they shield us from harm. So they actually buy us time, like peaceful time where we can solely focus on honing our skills without having to constantly fend off those coming for us out of hate and envy. If we know how to leverage and utilize shortcomings in the right time, the right place, they could be our competitive advantages. Don't you agree? And shortcomings can also act as catalysts for change and development, because if we could admit to ourselves, like, we don't have aptitude in certain areas, we would push ourselves to develop in other aspects. Like, we might be good at, or have a better chance at being good at. I have a story I'd like to share with you about a boy from my grade school back in my country, like my childhood. He had 6 fingers. No, he had 11 fingers. Oh, he had 11 fingers total. 5 on one hand and 6 on the other one. And you would think kids like him would be a little self-conscious or insecure about that extra finger, or even got bullied a lot. But this boy was different. Like, he was extremely charismatic and funny. Of course, we were just kids back then, very innocent. You know, like, kids say the darndest things, right? I really don't know if ladies would look at a man with an extra finger and might think if that finger might be something that could hinder a relationship or not. I'm not sure, but with a charismatic and funny kid he was, how I remember him at least, I'm sure he's doing fine now. Right, anyways, so one day, a bunch of kids as a group, like, we were talking, and then one kid asked about his extra finger. And I don't remember the exact words in which how he replied, but I remember his reaction, replying to the comments in such a calm manner, like it didn't bother him at all, like it bothered him none. And I remember feeling so happy and hopeful. I still remember that feeling till this day, you know, just pure optimism about the future in general. Fast forward to present time, well, not present time, a few years ago, I got in touch with an old friend from my childhood, a girl, and girls talk. We talked about how everybody was doing, and the topic of old friends came up. He came up in our conversation, and she said he was going for his PhD. A few years ago, we were in our late 20s. Meaning, that boy from my childhood, he pushed himself very hard. It's amazing. Thinking about his story, I feel happy and hopeful. It's such a beautiful story to share. Which takes me to my next point. Appraisals of any kind are just opinions. Appraisals are just opinions. Like, the whole system of appraisals is just someone's subjective opinion. It's like asking your grandma if she likes your new haircut, right? You might get a different answer from every person you ask. And of course, I understand just because appraisals are just opinions doesn't mean they're not important. Because, after all, opinions shape our worldviews, right? Our decisions, our relationships. And let's be real, we all love giving our opinions, whether anyone wants to hear them or not. But at the core, appraisals are just someone's opinion. It's like choosing between vanilla and chocolate ice cream. Right? Some people like one, some people like the other, but in the end, they're both ice cream. And they both taste pretty darn good. Opinions are subjective. That's how they are. And will ever be. Anyways, I don't know if you're still up or not. If you are, I'm glad that you're here. this wonderful evening. If you're not, well, that's good. Well, my job here is done. I guess that's it for tonight. I hope to see you again in my next podcast. Sleep well.